الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار ثم أما بعد All praise is due to Allah, we laud Him, we praise Him, in Him we seek forgiveness, in Him we seek help. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, no one will be able to guide him. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He's alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah with just fear, with the fear that he is due to be feared with, and do not die except as Muslims. O human beings, fear your Lord who created you from one soul and from that one soul is meat. And from the two of them, countless men and women spread abroad in multitudes. Remember the wombs that bore you, keep the relations of ties of your families among you. For surely Allah is a raqib or a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. He will repair your deeds for you and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they have already achieved the greatest of successes. And as to what proceeds, surely the best speech is the book of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad, his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all affairs in this deen are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter in this deen is an innovation, and every innovation is a going astray. And every astray is in the hellfire. Last week, brothers and sisters in Islam, we began with this extremely important topic of al-khushu' fi salah, of khushu' or humility and awe and the consciousness of Allah and the fear of Allah in salah. We'd like to continue, inshallah, today with some of those things that will enable us to gain khushu' in the salah. Some of those things, and there are so many, that we would probably need many more khutbahs than the ones that are going to follow. Some of those things that we need to develop khushu' in our salah, that thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned last week, أَوَّلُ شَيْءٍ يُرْفَعُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الْخُشُوعِ حَتَّى لَا تَرَى فِيهَا خَاشِعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first thing that will be removed from this ummah is al-khushu'. Khushu' in the salah. To the point where you will barely be able to see someone who is khashi'an. Who is khashi'an. The person who has khushu'. One of the things that we need to have to develop khushu' in the salah, that element in the salah, that if we don't have khushu', we don't have a salah. As we mentioned last week, a salah with no khushu' is like a jasad with no ruh. A salah without khushu' is like a body without a soul. One of the first things that we need to develop khushu' in our salah is al-isti'dadu lis-salah wa tahayyu'u laha. Is to be, to have preparation, to make ourselves prepared and have the readiness and the willingness for the prayer itself. The preparation for the prayer itself helps to develop khushu'. This begins by the person having the niyyah to make the salah. And then it goes on by the person making the wudu in the best manner they can make the wudu. A wudu as though they're not going to be able to make wudu anymore. When they're making the wudu, they're looking at every single limb of their bodies. They're looking at their hands, paying attention to see if they've hit every spot. They're thinking about their faces when they wash them, and their arms up to the elbows, their hands up to the elbows, when they rub their heads, when they wash their feet, and of course with the head, it includes the ears. They're thinking about the wudu, and they're thinking as though this is the last time they're going to make wudu. As though their head's about to be put on the chopping block, or they're going to be executed by some army. This is the way they're going to make the wudu. And this is at-tahayyuk. This is istirdad. This is preparation for the salah itself. Then they make they use the miswak. They take the miswak with their left hand. With their left hand, not their right hand, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on Jumu'ah. They take the siwak and they brush their teeth, they clean their mouths, and they put on the best clothes available for any of the five daily prayers if they're able, instead of going to the masjid with their work clothes on, or as in some Muslim countries as I've seen, people will come to the Salatul Fajr with their house coat on and their pajamas. This doesn't help khushu', for as we mentioned last week, if you're going to get a job and you're going to have a personal interview with the employer or the personnel person, you will not put on your pajamas and stand in front of them. You will not put on your house coat or go with your work clothes or some jeans. You'll put on the best possible clothes. And you'll make sure that you perfume yourself. You smell good. You look good. This is the way we are preparing ourselves for the salah, and this helps develop khushu'. When we're going to the salah and when we're sitting waiting for the salah, in preparation for the salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, not as we've mentioned in so many Jumu'ah khutbahs in the past, too many to count, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited us for the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and the Isha and the Fajr and the Jumu'ah and the Eid al-Fitr wal Adha salah to sit with our fingers clasped like this. He has made it forbidden for us to sit with our hands like this, or to stand with our hands clasped, fingers clasped together, while waiting for the salah. Outside of that, it is permissible. And he told us the reason, because as shaitan sits between the fingers of the person who sits or stands with their fingers clasped while waiting for the salah. So when the person is waiting for the salah, this makes them conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who they're going to stand in front of. And when the mu'azzin calls the adhan, we have been ordered, commanded by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say what the mu'azzin says. When he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we are also to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and we're to think about what that person is saying according to the scholars of Islam. When the mu'azzin says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we are to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah along with him. When he says Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, then we are to say it with him. And we are not supposed to implement those things that have been introduced into Islam without authority. Those innovations that are cursed by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like those people using an unauthentic hadith. When they hear in the adhan, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, they blow or kiss the back of their thumbs and they rub their eyes. This is a bid'ah. This is a bid'ah kabira. This is an innovation. It is not from Islam. That when you hear Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, to kiss your thumbs and then wipe your eyes with them so that you'll be able to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not from Islam. But rather, the person is supposed to listen to the mu'azzin and say what he says. And then when the mu'azzin says, Hayya ala salah, the person is supposed to say, thinking to help foster khushu' in their salah. This is a part of the preparation. They are supposed to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then at the end of the adhan, the person in preparation for their salah to develop khushu', the person is supposed to make the dua, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آتي محمد الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعده. This is the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to make. You say this after you say اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، واللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Or any of the variations that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam left us. And then the person makes the dua for the adhan. And he doesn't say, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ mi'ad. He doesn't say after that dua, إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ mi'ad, because this part of the narration is unauthentic, that is transmitted by Imam al-Bayhaqi. As he mentioned, it is da'if, it is weak. And then when the person makes that dua, they're conscious. They're not trying to rush back to their job or rush to do something else that has no benefit for them in the next life. They're conscious of what they're saying in that dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the mu'adhin. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam told us that whoever makes that dua after the mu'adhin calls the adhan, it is wajib on me, he said. It is wajib on me that I intercede for them. It is wajib on me that I intercede for them. So those people who are waiting for the salah to develop the khushu', they're making the proper dua, the dua that the Prophet left us. And after they make that dua, between the adhan and the iqama, between the adhan and the iqama, the person makes dua for themselves, anything they want, because this is one of the times that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that no dua is rejected. Every dua that is made between the adhan and the iqama is answered by Allah. Every dua that is made between the adhan and the iqama is answered by Allah. And if a person understands this, they won't be talking about a tornado in Florida. They won't be talking about getting their car fixed or a basketball game that they saw last night. They'll be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between the adhan and the iqama to forgive them for their sins and have mercy on them and grant them the Jannah. This is in preparation, brothers. Sisters in Islam, this is in preparation for the salah. This is not the salah. This helps develop the khushu' in the salah. Then the person, when they are going to make the salah and they make the takbir, the person has to have tranquility and peace and calmness in their salah. They don't pray their salah, as we mentioned last week, the Prophet ﷺ said, they don't pray their salah like a chicken or a pigeon pecking up and down. No, the person has tumatnina in their salah. They have tranquility. They make sure that their ruku' and their sujood is calm and tranquil. Not like the person that the scholars of Islam call musi'u salatahu, the person who messed up his salah, for lack of better words. The person who messed up his salah, he came into the masjid and he made the salah. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, As-salamu alaykum, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alayka salam. Irji'i fasalli fa'in lam takun tasalli. He said, return and make your salah because you haven't made your salah. The man said, I went back and I prayed again. I came back to the Messenger of Allah and gave the salams again, as one narration says. The Messenger of Allah returned the salams again and said, Irji'i fasalli fa'in lam takun tasalli. Return and make your salah because you haven't made salah. The man did it a third time. And the Prophet told him again the third time. And then the man said, teach me how to make the salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just demonstrated by his statement how to make the salah. And he told the man in the salah that you have to, in your ruku', stay calm. And we will demonstrate this, inshallah, after the salatul jum'ah. Because we can't do it on the minbar, we don't have time, nor is it appropriate. But after the Jumu'ah, we will explain and demonstrate what the Prophet meant when he said you have to have tranquility in your ruku' and in your sujood. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told the man, لا تتم صلاة أحدكم حتى يفعل ذلك حتى يفعل ذلك في كل صلاته أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, not one of you will have a perfectly complete salah. Your salah will be defective until you do everything of what he told that man to do in his salah, in all the prayers. That you will not have a complete prayer until you stand properly, and you make ruku' properly, and you make sajda properly, and you make jalsa properly. You will not have a complete prayer. So we have to have tumatnina in our salah. We have to have tranquility and peace and calmness in the salah. And if we don't have that in the salah, brothers and sisters, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the salah of the person, male or female, that doesn't have a good ruku', a good sujood and khushu', as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in another narration collected by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, to develop khushu' in the salah, we should have the reminder, or we should remember al-maut. We should remember death in our salah. We should remember death in our salah as much as we can. We should think that this is our last prayer, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told one companion whose name was Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Salli salata rajulin, salli salatu rajulin, salatu muwaddi'. Pray the prayer of a man who's praying a farewell prayer. He's about to leave the dunya and he knows. As the brother who we mentioned in some of the classes here, and I'm not ashamed to mention his name, a brother named Gregory Flint Hunt, rahmatullahi alayhi, a brother who accepted Islam after living a life of crime. He accepted Islam when Allah allowed him by the decree of Allah to be incarcerated. And then he accepted this noble religion of Islam, and then he was sent to the gas chamber or the execution chamber in the state of Maryland. And on the way to the chamber, walking down what they call the walk of death, for every single step, this happened last May of 1997, for every single step that he took, he was saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And then when he got to the table, they asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I want to pray 2 rak'ah. And he prayed 2 rak'ah, and then he hopped on the table and they stuck the tubes in his arm. And he stuck his finger up while on the table for the lethal injection, and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the way we should pray, brothers and sisters, as though this is our last prayer. The prayer of a muwaddi', farewell prayer. We should think about death, because it's not guaranteed that we're going to leave this blessed masjid, one of the houses of Allah. It's not guaranteed that we're going to make the prayer today. It's not guaranteed that we're going to finish this khutbah. Nothing is guaranteed except the death. And after the death, it's either al-jannah or al-nar. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammad. Please move up, brothers, inshallah, to give the brothers some room in the back. الحمد لله رب العالمين ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if we think of death in our prayers, if we think of death in our prayers, that this is our last prayer, this would undoubtedly develop khushu' in our prayers. If you are mindful that you are standing in front of Allah, and at any moment, like one brother in North Carolina some years ago, in sajda, in the last raka'ah of Fajr, he died. In the sajda itself, alhamdulillah. If we're mindful of death, brothers and sisters in Islam, This has to develop khushu' in our salah. And lastly but not least, we should try to ponder upon what we are reciting in our prayers. And we should try to ponder upon the meaning of what the imam who is leading us in the prayer, who is leading us in the prayer, what he is reciting. As Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, rahimahullah, the great scholar of tafsir of Quran, the first tafsir compiled in the history of Islam, Ibn Jarir al-Tabri said, how could it be that someone would recite the Quran in their salah? How could it be that they would recite the Quran in their salah and recite it without understanding the meaning? كَيْفَ يَلْتَزَّ قِرَاءَتَهُ How is he going to be able to have the sweet taste of the recitation if he doesn't understand the ta'wil, if he doesn't understand the tafsir of what he's saying? So brothers and sisters in Islam, this necessitates, among other things, learning the Arabic language. Learning the Arabic language is very important for khushu', because when someone understands the Arabic language, then they'll be able to understand what Allah is saying. And they'll be able to implement that which the Prophet used to implement in his salah. As Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ That I prayed with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night, يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَصِّلًا The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting slowly and deliberately. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his statement and his action that he never, ever, 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 ever in his entire life as a prophet and messenger, he never, ever connected the verses like we do today. Never did the prophet connect the verses. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din. He never did this. But rather, as Hudhayfa said, when he prayed with him at night, يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَصِّلًا مُسْتَرْصِلًا He used to pray without speeding and connecting the ayat. الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Pause. Reflection. Concentration. Contemplation on the ayat. الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ Pause. Contemplation. Reflection on the ayat. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ Pause. He never connected the ayahs and he never ever recited the Quran in or out of the salah with speed. So Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I prayed with the Messenger of Allah one night sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he used to recite mutarassilan, mustarassilan. Then Hudhayfa gave us a key on how to gain khushu' in the salah. He said, إِذَا مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَاتِ الرَّحْمَةِ سَأَلَ If the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by some ayat that had the mercy of Allah in it, Jannah, or anything like this, he would ask Allah for it. Any ayah that contained the Jannah, or the mercy of Allah, or the forgiveness of Allah, anything that we need, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Hudhayfa said, when he would pass by an ayah that had mercy in it, he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would ask Allah for that. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ عَذَابٍ تَعَوَّذَ And if he came by an ayah that had punishment in it, hellfire or the like, he would seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that thing. This is the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray his prayers. Not like us, just allowing the imam to lead us in the salah, not contemplating on what he's saying. Not praying, not thinking about what the imam is saying, either when we're in the salah by ourselves or behind the imam. This is the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed khushu', and he was the one who had more khushu' than anyone. If he came by an ayah that had anything to ask Allah, he would ask him. If he came by an ayah that had anything of seeking refuge from the punishment, he would seek refuge with Allah. If he came by any ayah for the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would ask for the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on some occasions would recite only one ayah through the whole Qiyam al-Layl, through all of Tahajjud, for 11 rak'ah, he will recite one ayah. And he will recite that ayah slowly and deliberately so that those people behind him would be able to listen and reflect on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This develops khushu', brothers and sisters. This develops khushu'. And the people who were with him, the Sahaba, and those people who came after them, the Tabi'un, they followed suit. One of the Tabi'un used to recite, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدُ in its entire Qiyam al-Layl, in each rak'ah. This is the way that the people used to develop khushu', brothers and sisters. And these are the things that we like to discuss for the weeks to come. How do we develop khushu'? The first thing that's going to be removed, brothers and sisters, from the salah, to the point where you're not going to be, you'll hardly see anyone with khushu'. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who have khushu' in our salah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who don't speed through our prayers and pray our prayers like a chicken or a pigeon. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tuma'nina in our ruku', in our sujood, in our jalsa. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us pray our prayers as though this is the prayer muwaddi', the farewell prayer, the last prayer that we're going to pray, as though our heads are going to be placed on that chopping block, or we're going to be executed as soon as we make the taslim. We ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us in the closest majlis with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.